Hello and welcome to the Writing Sparrow podcast. I'm Serena Langer and this podcast is all about writing, publishing and marketing your book. You can find transcripts on my website at serenalanger.com. Let's get started. Welcome back, friends and sparrows. It's the 15th of February 2021 and this is episode 23. Today, I'm talking to urban fantasy adventure author Iris Williams about her writing routine. We already touched a little bit on this many weeks ago when Rhianne talked about fitting her work in progress around her everyday routine. But today, we'll be more in depth and more specifically talking about her writing routine. Welcome back, my love. How are you?
I am good. I am, you know, loving life. To be fair, I actually quite enjoy like the introverted nature of what's going on in the current world.
Oh,
I am. It means I don't actually have to go anywhere.
It's nice, isn't it? It's, I mean, I think when you're an introvert in a way, it's so perfect because you don't have to put up with other people as much.
Yes, exactly.
What a dream. We should always do this. not the pandemic itself, just the lockdown.
Yes. Yeah.
Without the pressure of killing someone when you leave the house.
Yes.
That got darker than I intended for the first 2 minutes of the episode.
You know, let's just roll with it. It's fine.
Okay. So let's start with a similarly severe first question. Oh, yes. You better be ready for this. I hope you're 15. I hope you're sitting down. Okay. Are you a plotter, a pantser, or are you somewhere in between?
Well, it's funny because I've literally just recorded an episode for this on my podcast.
Oh, there you go. Great minds in
order. Essentially, I'm closer to the plotting side of the spectrum, but I am in the middle because although I have a plot, my characters are allowed to do whatever they want.
I think that's probably the best way to do it because you have an idea of where you're going and you know where you need to go, so you can't really get stuck because you always have this, if I don't know what I'm doing, I know where I need to go, so I'll just move on with that.
Yeah, exactly. And what I really like about it is when I get so far with my characters and I'm like, what the hell are you doing all the way over there?
Oh, that's the best. Lost.
I know how to get them back. That's yes. The bit that I like.
But also when your characters do their own thing to that extent, you really know that you thought them through well because they've literally taken on a life of their own.
Yes.
And they exactly. Know where they're going.
Yeah. Well, at least I hope they do.
Well, more so than me, I hope, but you just never know.
No, exactly.
Sometimes they are wrong, but let's be honest, most of the time they are right and we are wrong. Okay, so to do the actual writing routine thing, what does your writing... You know what? This is my second tea, and I thought before we started recording that this may be a terrible idea. And look at me slurring my words. It's tea. It's tea in my cup. It's definitely tea. Unless Barry has mixed in some gin, which is possible. But it's tea. It's definitely just tea. Please believe me.
Don't worry.
Thank you. What does your writing routine look like?
So just my writing routine. Looks like me getting up at 10 to 5 every morning and then writing before I go to my muggle job.
Oh, crikey, 10 to 5.
Yeah. Now, see, when people say that, they're like, when I say that to people, they often go, Jesus, I wouldn't get up that early. Now, in all fairness, I do only have an hour, maybe an hour and a half to write because I usually start my writing at 6 o'clock. So I give myself like an hour to get up, have breakfast, sort the cats out.
So you know, that's really very relaxed.
Yeah. And then at 6, I sit down, I write, and sometimes I write for an hour or sometimes I write for an hour and a half. It just depends what I'm doing in the morning and how quickly I need to be out of the house.
So that's still very nice and relaxed. That's probably the best way to do it because that way, you know, you're getting up early to get it done, but also you're doing it in a way that doesn't really put any pressure on yourself.
Yeah, yeah. And then I do my editing in the evenings and on the weekends because I just think doing that in the morning would fry my brain.
I think it would, especially before tea or with too much tea, as we've just seen.
Yes.
You know, it's funny because we talked about, well, a little bit about your writing routine and the getting up early and all that on the last episode that we did together. And at the time I was saying I could never get up that early. You know, some days I just don't write and that's fine. And, you know, and actually I think about a week after we did that, I changed my routine so much that it's not really anything anymore like what we discussed at the time. You may say you've inspired me. So thanks for that. But I mean, when it's changed a lot again, because at the time I changed it, I was going into work, like physically, like back in the day. And because of that, I ended up getting a lot earlier than I needed to if I were only going to work. And then I made a point of writing for 15 minutes or half an hour before I left. So, you know, what you've told me the last episode has inspired that a lot.
Yeah, I think if you put too much pressure on yourself, you just end up not writing anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, from last year, like my worst day, I was like, I'm just going to write one word and then that will spiral. So my worst day was 66 words. So that's still 66 new words that I put down.
Well, exactly. It's all progress. And the important thing is that you've written on that day. So, you know, you've, it may not be much, but it's all going toward your habit. And
yes,
your work in progress is 66 words, which are for it.
Yes.
And what I really like about it, I don't know how you feel, but if I get it done first thing in the morning, especially before work, I then have that really nice accomplished feeling throughout the day of it doesn't matter if I don't write anymore because I've already written.
Yeah, well, that's one of the reasons why I moved my writing to the morning, because I found that I was coming home from my muggle job and then I was like trying to work and I just wouldn't get anything done because my brain was fried from the day job. So I thought, well, let's do it beforehand.
Yeah, I mean, clearly you're more motivated in the morning to do it and you're more... Oh, I've just had the word. See, there is such a thing as too much tea in short succession. But, but yeah, I mean, you know, you've got to write when it works the best for you. And I find when I write in the morning, I probably write a lot more than if I wait for it in the afternoon. And then you have more the feeling of I need to write now or the day's going to be over and I won't have done anything. Getting it out of the way early is always a bit of a motivation boost. Of productivity. Yeah. That's the word I wanted. You feel more productive that way. You know you've already achieved.
Yes.
So I think you've already just mentioned a little bit about that, but do you set yourself specific goals, like a number of words you want to write every week or how much time you want to spend writing a day? Do you have like an ideal goal?
Yes. So I've always kept my goals small. So my bog standard goal is 500 words per session. And the majority of the time I hit it. Sometimes I'm just, you know, super epic and I write like 1,000 words, which is great. And then, as I said, sometimes I get like 2 words down, but you know, it's all progress.
Yeah.
At the moment, I'm really enjoying using a website called Story Origin. So you put in like your book and then the goal words that you want and you set a start date and a finish date and then it tells you how many words to write at the moment.
Oh!
So that's really fun. And Story Origin is currently free, but I know that they are bringing in paid plans soon. So sign up if you want to continue to have it free for a couple of extra months longer.
Well, I can totally bear that in mind for myself. But by the time this episode goes live in a month, it may already be too late. But we will see. If it's, you know, if it's still there and if you're interested listening to this now, can't hurt to have a look. Just see what's available.
It's been free for about 2 years, so...
Okay.
Hopefully it still will be.
It'll probably last another 2 months or so. Or just,
yeah,
at least just one more month. You've already kind of answered that just now, I think. But my next question would have been, do you write every day? But you said that you try to write every day and then you edit at the weekends.
Yeah, so my main writing days are Monday to Friday for books. And then for any blog posts or podcast episodes or anything like that, anything that's not related to a book, I do on the weekend or on an evening. And then that's when I do my editing as well. So I tend to do a similar sort of thing with word counts as I do for editing. So I'll split it by chapters. And usually that means I've only got to do 4 chapters a week, which is really easy to fit in.
Yeah, I mean, when you put it that way, it doesn't sound like too much. And, you know, it sounds easily achievable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It makes my life so much easier because I don't feel like I've put on like a horrendous amount of pressure on myself. So, for example, I'm planning on editing my book Kingdom of Lies by for this first quarter, so by the end of March. And when I worked it out, I only had to do 11 chapters a month, which meant I literally have to do like two a week.
That's fine. That's doable.
Yeah.
And I know you'll power through too.
Yeah, I did my first session the other day and I already did three, so we're on to a win.
Very good. And that feels good as well, because you can, you know, you can almost already tick off that goal. And I think when you achieve things early on in the time frame that you've set yourself, even if it's just a small thing really, but you just, you feel that instant boost of, yes, I'm getting things done.
Yeah.
So has your writing routine changed over the years? And if so, what have you changed and why?
Well, it hasn't changed in the last, how long have I been with Ian? 6 years. It hasn't changed in the last 6 years. So before I got with my now husband, I used to write in the evenings after work. And it was when I got with him that he was like, oh, all you do is sit on your laptop all evening and, you know, you never spend any time. I was like, well, you know, I get up early and you stay in bed till like 9 o'clock. So I might as well just do my writing then.
Yeah.
And it worked for me because I was a morning person. It was like, well, I was already up 2 hours before him, so I might as well do something productive in those 2 hours.
Yeah, that sounds very, well, as you said, it's very productive because you're working with the time that you have available very well. And we've already talked about that a lot in our last episode, so we won't go into it massively now. But if anyone is interested in how Rhianne is organizing her time and how she knows when she has time free or time to spare, you want to check out the last episode that we did together, because that's what we talked about in detail there.
Yeah.
Obviously, at the moment, we're still in lockdown, and we have been for a little while, and many writers have either struggled with that and not written at all for a while, or they really took to it and they've written a lot more than they usually do. So how has lockdown affected your routine?
Not a lot, to be fair. The only thing that lockdown has done really is given me more time to work on the weekends, because I don't go out and see people.
Thank God.
Yeah, so normally I'd go out and see friends or my family or, you know, so, you know, stuff like that. And yeah, at the moment I can't do any of that, so I just spend my time either playing Pokemon on the Switch or doing something productive.
That sounds nice. That's such a good weekend.
Well, I bought myself the game for Christmas, and within 3 weeks I've completed it.
Which edition do you have?
I have Pokemon Sword. No, Pokemon Shield. Oh my God.
I think I've got Shield as well.
Yeah. My other two friends have Pokemon Sword. So we swap Pokemon that we can't get, so it's really easy.
I was going to say, so we can't exchange Pokemon that way. We can't. That's fine. You're sorted.
you'll have to send me your friend code though, so we can be friends on the Switch.
Oh yeah, I'll have to do that. And for Animal Crossing as well, I'm sure you've either got that already or you will get it at some point.
No, not an
Animal Crossing person.
I'm not an Animal Crossing person.
It's so relaxing.
I tried it, but it's not my jam.
Did you know, Barry told me the other evening while I was playing Skyrim again, mm-hmm. that the three most relaxing games, apparently, I don't know what list that's from, but apparently the three most relaxing games to play are Animal Crossing, Stardew Valley, I think, and Skyrim.
Skyrim is a really relaxing game, though.
It is, because it's if you don't do any fighting, if you get lucky for a bit, it's basically a walking simulator in a very detailed
beautiful
world.
Yeah,
and you can just sit there and just watch the Northern Lights for a bit.
Yeah, and unless you're me, and then you just go running around killing things.
Yeah, but then of course if you are overpowered, you don't really need to worry about your character dying, so that's still relaxing. It's all good. What writing program do you use? Do you have a favourite? I didn't think that would be... I mean, the hard question is still to come. I didn't think this would be it.
I mean, I don't actually use anything exciting. I just write... Because I'm an Apple person, so I use Pages to write my first drafts because I find it has less distractions. And then I use Google Docs and Word to send to people to do edits. And that is me in a nutshell. I don't That's use like, anything exciting.
Well, I don't have Apple, so I don't even know what Pages is. Is that like Word, basically?
Yeah,
like,
it's essentially Apple's version of Microsoft Word, but it just, it has, I mean, I don't know how to use all the features, so I ignore them, in which case I just have a blank piece of paper. Beautiful. That's all I need.
That's all you want. See, this is what I like with Scrivener's full screen mode, because you don't see any of the other usually very distracting tabs. You only got the blank screen and whatever words you happen to put on it, which sounds like it's roughly the same thing. So I think a lot of listeners or new writers who haven't done this process an awful lot yet might not know how you can use Google Docs, for example, or Word to get feedback from critique partners and beta readers. Mm-hmm. So how do you, what about that do you find the most helpful, and how does it help you edit?
So I like the fact that if both people are in the same document, then you can have like a little chat down the side. So that's always fun. Mm. And the way me and my critique partners use it is I won't look at the document until they've finished, because if I start making changes, it messes up all their comments.
God,
and stuff.
That is so good, because I know I would go in just to read their comments. I would be too curious.
Well, the thing I like about it is I get emails with their comments, and I can reply directly to their comment from the email. It's perfect. I've had loads of conversations while I've been at work getting all these emails through, and I just reply to them. So then when I go into the document when I'm editing, not only will it have their comment, but it'll also have the conversation that we had. So if say they've taken, I don't know, 6 weeks to go through the whole manuscript, when you go back to that comment in chapter two, you can see your conversation and go, oh yeah, that's exactly what I need to do. Sorted.
So you get all the joy of going through the comments, but without feeling the need of doing any changes right away.
Yes.
That sounds perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's not the perfect advert for using Google Docs, I don't know what is. Right. So what are three important things you need to have when you're writing?
That is a good question. I need to have.
I think that question came from Jess over in my reader group.
I like to have a notebook to make notes on, because I'm really bad at remembering what colour hair my character has. Mm-hmm. So when I write things where I've described what their hair's like or stuff like that, I have a notebook, so I write all of those down, so that next time I do it, I don't have to flick through like loads of information. I can just go, oh yeah, I wrote that down, that's fine. I also like to have... I'm really weird. I either prefer dead silence, or I have to have like some kind of background on. So whether that be a TV show that I've already watched and I know what's happening and I can just hear it on in the background, watching some YouTube person play a game, that's always fun. Or I just listen to instrumental music.
That's roughly what I do. I mean, I think I've just talked to Vitlimay a little bit about that, and because she's very good at having, you know, music going and getting inspired by the words and basing maybe chapters and some scenes of what she's hearing. But I can't do that, because when I try to write and there's any kind of lyrics or talking going on around me, I can only do one thing. So I either need silence or I need instrumental music.
Well, I have had instances where I've been listening to a song with lyrics driving on the way to work, and then all of a sudden this scene is just unfolded in my head. I do understand where she's coming from, and I have had that happen to me. So in my Project Carradine playlist, I do have about three or four songs with words because they inspired a scene. Mm. But otherwise it's all just instrumental background noise, so that I can do that while I'm writing.
All right. And what do you do when writing gets difficult? Because, I mean, sooner or later, you're going to sit down with your work in progress. You look at it and you're not quite sure how to go from there. What do you do? How do you fix it?
I act like a toddler and have a little tantrum.
Something completely realist. Don't knock it if it works.
Yeah, no, that is usually my routine. I'll usually have a little tantrum and then I'll just go away. Sometimes talking it through with other people helps. So most of the time I will come to either yourself and be like, can you help me with a plot point? or I'm part of a membership for authors. So the coach in there offers one-to-one sessions every couple of months. So sometimes I'll just wait and then I'll have a session with her and then we'll like full on hash it out.
Okay.
And then that'll be good. To be fair, that is how I got the plot for book 3 of Project Carradine. That's how I worked out. Yeah, and she helped me with weaving in some things that are happening in the previous books to tie back in. I can't tell you anymore because it'll give spoilers, but yeah.
We don't want that.
It fired me up so much and I was like, oh my God, yes!
So how does this work? Is this like an online writing group, basically? So,
yeah. So it's Pagan from Paperback Kingdom.
Paperback Kingdom.
Yeah, okay. It's her Authorpreneur Kingdom membership, and basically she has a coaching call every week. So she'll put up a post, and you can respond whether you need mindset help, knowledge on how to do something, and stuff like that. And then every couple of months, she'll put in a post to say, I have this many sessions available. And then you basically just do what we're doing now. You hop on a video call and hash it out.
All right. That does sound very helpful. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you've already mentioned a little bit of that just now when you said that sometimes you're driving and you hear a song and suddenly, bam, there's a whole new scene. Is that where most of your inspiration comes from? Or like, Is there anything, for example, that when you're stuck, you know, you can go to that and you'll probably get inspiration from it? I phrased that terribly, but I think you know what I mean.
Well, my brother asked me this question the other day. He was like, where do your ideas come from? And I was like, I don't know.
I think it's quite a popular question, isn't it? I mean, yeah. I think one of the first things that people ask you when you tell them that you're a writer or an author is, where do you get your inspiration from? And you're like,
I mean, I've had inspiration from TV shows that I've watched, books that I've read, films that I've watched, conversations that I've seen other people have that were nothing to do with me. I had this really weird dream about Henry Cavill, which has started off an entire like assassin trilogy. So, you know, they can come from anywhere.
To go a tiny bit off topic, just briefly, because I need to know. We talked about a little bit about that. And I thought at the time that when you said Henry, that this was a character in Greedfall, because you were talking about that, and I've gone through the entire game looking out for this Henry, and I thought there is no Henry in this. She told me there is this really hot guy in this called Henry, and I can't, where is he? How am Henry? I missing him? And
the Henry Cavill is an actor who plays Geralt.
Well, you only said Henry at the time, and then eventually it occurred to me she must have meant him. But literally, yes. I went through the entire game looking for Henry, and I thought, I can't find a Henry.
Oh, I'm sorry to mislead you like that. I didn't mean to.
We googled it several times, and by the time the game was over, I went, I still don't know who Henry is. It was really driving me mad.
Oh, you should have sent me a message.
I was going to, but I kept forgetting.
Well, more for you on that point, but more for me, yeah, because I misled you and I do apologise.
Well, I think he then mentioned his full name very shortly after you said that, and I thought it should probably have clicked that she meant him and not a character in the game. But, I mean, I even thought maybe, I know that she likes to watch Let's Plays, I think, on YouTube. So maybe she was watching a guy play, but with the game in another language, just narrated in English. Ooh. And maybe some character's name in France is Henry, but here he's something else. And maybe that's where Henry came from. But
I love how this has gone off on a tangent about Henry.
Sorry, everyone. I'm moving on. See, this is why these episodes are longer than they should be. Sorry about that. I'm glad I cleared that up. I just, as you said, I kept forgetting to ask. So while we're here, But let's get back to the, I think we're on to the really important questions now. So, do you
Okay.
snack while you write, and what's your beverage of choice?
Do I snack while I write? Sometimes, not really, because it's usually first thing in the morning.
Yeah, fair point.
So I'll eat my breakfast beforehand and then I'll continue writing.
Okay, so when you do snack, do you like something dry, like a crisp, that then ruins your keyboard with the flavor dust? Or
No, I tend to eat chocolate.
yeah, you can't go wrong with chocolate.
Yeah.
What's your favorite chocolate?
Magic stars.
Mmm.
And for people listening, I just pulled a bag out from behind my monitor and showed Serena. Because I always have chocolate beside me.
My desk is littered with various snacks right now. Just depends. Just say that I have something on here for when I'm in the mood for, like, if I want Maltesers, I have Maltesers on here. If I want digestives, I have digestives to my right. I'm surrounded by snacks, just in case.
Fair enough.
And what's your beverage of choice? Is it tea or are you a coffee person?
I'm a water person.
All right.
Yeah, I don't drink tea or coffee.
I mean, I think as we've seen in this episode, it makes me a little bit jittery at
A
times.
little
And
bit, yes.
this is only my second cup, excuse you. But I mean, I only have one cup of black tea a day. It's unusual for me to have two. But I feel like when I do an interview like this, I need to have tea. I feel like it's rude to not have tea for me.
Yeah,
You can do whatever you want, but I feel like it's only natural that when you're having a chat with friends that you have tea. So here I am. Making mistakes. And you've already talked about this a little bit as well. I was going to ask if you listen to any music while you write, and you've already talked about that, so I think we can probably skip that unless you have anything to add.
No. I will say, actually, yes, I will add something.
Okay.
So, Lindsay Stirling is great listening for for when you're writing like really action-packed, like dramatic scenes. She's amazing.
I second that. Yeah, I started listening to her because I talked to you. I think I asked on Instagram for instrumental music recommendations, and you said try Lindsey Stirling.
Yes.
And it's
Yeah.
so beautiful, and it does work really well. It's very atmospheric music, it's violin music, right? It's been a while for me. It's quite atmospheric, so it's really perfect for, well, pretty much any scene, because every scene should have some form of atmosphere in it, so it's perfect for that. And there are no lyrics, so you don't get distracted.
Some of her songs do have lyrics in when they're featuring other people, but if it's just her, it will be instrumental.
Yeah, those are the ones that I tend to flock to. And to get to the maybe meanest and hardest question on my list, sorry in advance. What book has inspired and influenced you the most? What one book? I just want one.
I'll go with my favourite book,
Okay.
Graceling, by Kristin Cashore.
Oh, that's been on my list for so long, and it always looks really interesting. I haven't got to it yet, but it is on there.
I read it in a day. It was so good.
In a day.
Yeah.
God, I don't get anything. I don't get through anything in a day unless it's a play or a short story, or sometimes a novella, but.
To be fair, it was a couple of years ago when I was on holiday and it was raining, so I had nothing else to do but read.
That sounds like a wonderful day.
Yeah.
What do you think, is it about this book that has inspired you so much?
Just the uniqueness of the idea, like it's literally like I've never read anything like it, and I love the fact that they keep part of who Katza is, the main character, a secret until the end.
It's always
Like,
nice to have this really big reveal at the end, especially if it wasn't hinted at or you didn't see the hints because it's your first time reading it. It's such a punch.
yeah, so they have some people in this world have something called a grace, and that means they have different colored eyes and like a special power. Now, all you know about Katza in the beginning is that she has a grace. and she's got different coloured eyes, but you don't actually know what her grace is until the end of the book, and I love that.
Ooh, okay. So, see, I think I'm going to maybe put it up my list a little bit. So that I can read it this year, because you've made me very curious. And it really has been waiting for its turn for a very long time, so I think it's only fair if I bump it up a bit, and we could talk about it.
Yeah, I reread it probably once every couple of years, because I just enjoy the book so much.
That's always a good sign. I would suggest doing a buddy read, but I'm really, really bad at buddy reads, because I'm a slow reader.
Me too. Don't worry.
In the start of December, I was starting a buddy read with Lisa and Beth of The Starless Sea, which is such a stunning book. And I'm loving it so much. But as I'm recording this, it's the 14th of January, right? And I think I'm just over halfway through. And we were supposed to read the whole thing last month. So I'm very conscious that they're probably holding back of gushing about it on our group, so they don't spoil anything for me. And I'm very sorry, Lisa and Beth, for being such a slow reader. I am genuinely loving the book. It's, you know, it's nothing with that. I'm just a slow reader. So maybe we shouldn't do that. But you've already read it, so you know what's coming, and we can still talk about it.
Yes. Yes, we can.
Very good. And to stay on the topic of books for a second longer, do you have a favourite book on the craft of writing? Any recommendations?
I have loads of recommendations. I don't have a favourite one.
It's fine. We can do a few. I'm not going to be as mean on this one. You can give me two or three titles if you want.
So I do really enjoy the fantasy fiction formula, which is fun. And then I've got Let's Get Digital. And I'm currently reading Business for Authors by Joanna Penn, which is quite interesting.
Well, blimey, I haven't even heard of the first two. What am I doing? You'll have to send me the links, and we can. What I'm going to do, I think, with every episode is that I'm going to have a link of the recommended book in the show notes, and we can get a little library going that way.
No problem. I will just write this down as a note to remind myself to send it to you.
Oh, don't worry. If you don't remember it, I'll remember it. At least, or at the latest, when I go through the show notes, or when I do the transcript, and I realise I still haven't got any links in there.
Fair enough.
Okay, and just to finish up, do you have any advice for establishing a writing routine? I mean, you have said not for 6 years, so you're clearly very good at that.
Yeah, you just need to find what works for you. So I would say, experiment until you find what works, and don't be disheartened when it doesn't, because you can always change it.
Yeah, very true. That's nice and short and succinct and very to the point. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
And we will wrap it up on that. Thank you so much for stopping by and talking to me about your routine.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to chat whenever.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much. Bye.
Cheers.
If you enjoyed today's episode, maybe learned something along the way, hit the subscribe button. You can also connect with me on Twitter at @Serena_Langer, on Instagram and Facebook at @SerenaLangerWriter, and of course on my website at serenalanger.com. Until next time, bye!